If you would take your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 11. This is a Psalm of David, and he writes some very pointed words here. This is a judgment psalm, and we'll note some things. We'll read all seven verses and come back and look primarily just at one of the verses. Verse number 1, Psalm number 11, the Word of God says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth up the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Every one of these verses we could take and spend a number of moments upon those and could look at the details and the background and all the things that are surrounding David as he writes this psalm. And I guess probably one of the most famous verses out of this psalm is in verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I've heard many messages upon that verse. I've preached some messages on that. And it's a very pointed question. And I'm sure that we could bring a message tonight and build a message upon those words about the foundations that we see before us being destroyed. And what are we going to do about it? How can we respond? And so that's a question that David asks as he sees the wicked work and as the problems arise in the life around him of the wicked. And he tells us the Lord's in his temple and the Lord's throne is in heaven. I'm glad to know where the Lord is, glad to know all the things that the Scripture gives us about heaven and about the Lord. And by the way, just in a passing note, a side note, chase a rabbit just for a minute. everything that the world has questions about, the things of God's Word, and questions like, is heaven real, and is it really there? I'll tell you, the only place that we can go to get our answer 100% sure is right here in this book. And we don't need the extra things being done and said and thoughts. The Bible gives us exactly what we need to know. And even in this verse here tonight, the Lord is in His holy temple. His throne is in heaven. And so there's a lot of things we can, my goodness, we can spend a whole lot of sessions on just these few things. But I want us to look primarily tonight, verse number 6. We're just going to stay right here. Probably won't even go anywhere else in the Scripture. Maybe a verse or so different. But primarily right here looking at this one verse. And note what David says about the wicked. Notice, let's read it again. "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." When we think of the Psalms, we usually think of Psalms that will soothe us and comfort us, like the 23rd Psalm. We think of things that would help us through our troubles and trials. And indeed, the Psalms has a lot of things to help us and a lot of different words and a lot of verses that can help us in the difficulties of life and can help us through our trials and our testings and going through death in the family. It was many, many times we turn to the Psalms to get a refreshment from the Lord. But this psalm here is a total different type of psalm. It's certainly not a psalm of refreshing. It's not a psalm of comfort. It's not a psalm of joy. It's not a psalm like the 23rd. And even though those psalms do a great job in helping us in our difficulty, this psalm says plenty to alarm us concerning those that are around us that are called the wicked. And And by the way, we're not judgmental when we call people wicked, because their wicked ways will reveal who they are. We're not bringing judgment upon people when we realize what kind of lifestyle they lead and how they treat the Lord and how they disrespect the things of God, and by those things that they do and say and the actions that they have that they're not ashamed of, we know according to the Word of God they are wicked. They do not know the Lord. They are undone. They're left unto their own selves. The psalm here says plenty, and it warns us and gives us an alarm. And it tells us about what kind of discomfort the wicked one day will have. Our text is an example of the work of the Lord. And it gives us an example of how God's going to bring out judgment upon people of this world that are accepting the evil ways and the evil days in which we live. And maybe we as believers, maybe we need to spend more time in understanding that our God is a God of judgment. Yes, He's a God of love, and we certainly believe that, and we teach that and preach that, and we should express that to those around us, even if they are wicked. And maybe we need to maybe spend some time to realize that on the flip side of God's love is the wrath of God. And He will bring judgment upon those that are rejecting Him and those that turn their back upon the grace of God, and judgment will fall. And I know there's a lot of discussion today concerning God's judgment, but I'm sure as we read the Scripture, if you read the Old Testament especially, you'll find God really active in judging wickedness, whether it be of the heathen, whether it be of the Moabites, or you put any kind of group there that you want to talk about, God brings forth judgment upon them. And even to the point that you can read in the Old Testament that God brought judgment upon His own people because of the rejection of His Word, because they refused to obey, they refused to follow and to obey Him. And so judgment is one of the attributes of our Lord. We do not like to think about it. We certainly do not want to experience the chastening hand of the Lord as judging us and judging against us, but it is a part of God. And so therefore we need to understand what the Lord will do. And I think this verse here tells us what He will do upon the wicked. Very clearly gives us some things about this. First, I want us to notice the crowd that is reserved for judgment. Notice here in this first part of the verse, it says, upon the wicked. Upon the wicked He shall reign. And then He tells us what He's going to do. So there is a crowd of the wicked. There are those that will flaunt their sin. They flatter their life. They enjoy their lifestyle. They honor sinful practices. They advocate vile ways and vices and affections. Even countries may legislate unlawful deeds and deem them to be lawful. And this is all the type of things that are considered to be wicked. God tells us they are. We sometimes laugh and joke about sin, but it's not a laughing matter, it's not a joking matter. Sometimes folks will make a light of it, and they'll make certain statements, and sometimes folks that are standing around, they'll just snicker and they'll laugh because it seems to be funny. But when the judgment of God falls, they'll not be laughing then. And the Bible says here the group or the crowd that is reserved for judgment are considered to be the wicked. And the more you speak out against that in a wicked world, the more you are considered to be you're a nuisance to them. You're old-fashioned. And now it's even come down that we have a hate problem. And we'll hear more on that continually. It's not that we hate people, but we realize that God hates their sin. And God hates the ways that they do. And the more we try to bring forth righteousness out into view, the more we are considered to be the problem. Isaiah says that comes a time, and I believe the time is here, that good should be called evil, and evil should be called good. And it'll be accepted as that. And so we can see that everywhere. And so we find a world that flatters their sin. They mock God, and they make fun of God. Well, they better enjoy it for that season they have that, because that season is going to end. It's going to be over. And so there is a crowd here that David expresses that God is going to deal with, and he calls them very pointedly upon the wicked, upon those that are wicked. The ways of life are sinful, and it's not that they're just lost, they're wicked. And that represents an outward expression of who they are. You see, people are not sinners because they sin. People sin because they're sinners. And that sin that we see is the outward expression of what the heart is. It's a sinful heart. It's a darkened heart. It's an unbelieving heart. It's a heart that will not have the work of God done upon it. And so they view their unholy living as righteous and good and fun and thrill-seeking. And so David says here and gives us real quickly here that the Lord is going to do something to the wicked. And the whole portion before, we find that he talks about the wicked. Verse 2, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow in their upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright." At the upright where? In heart. So they're ready. They're poised. The wicked is ready to do battle against the righteous and against the man of person of God and people of the Lord. And so this entire psalm is dealing with some things about righteousness and wickedness. And so, verse 3, he asked the question, if the foundations are destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? What are we going to do? And we see the foundations being destroyed before our very eyes. We see certain things being totally done away with that we know are true and righteous, and but yet they're no longer accepted. And so there's a crowd out there that's making their noise. There's a crowd out there that has the headlines. They have the newspaper looking at them. They have the TV, the radio. They have the whole world following after them, and they're making their their statements, and they are considered, as far as God is concerned here, they are those that are wicked, that have their bow poised and their arrow is ready to shoot. It's on the string, and all they got to do is let go of it, and they shoot at the upright in heart. But they're the wicked. And I'm glad God knows and gives the total story of what takes place. So here we see the crowd, the wicked world in which we live, and the darkness that is around us. And that's why we need to let our little light so shine. Because our world is dark. Our world is wicked. Our world is ungodly. And if there's going to be any light, it's not going to be from the biblical so-called movies that are coming out. Our light is not from what they think. Our light comes from the Word of God. And all we have to do is express what is truth and righteous. And so the crowd of the judgment, the crowd reserved for judgment, is considered to be the wicked that flaunts their sin, and they legislate their deeds, and they go about their ways, and they consider themselves to speak out, and they're heard, and they have the voice, and they have the ear. They may have the ear of legislature, they may have the ear of the president, they may have the ear of anyone in authority, but they don't have the ear of God. And He knows what's going on, and one day He's going to judge them, because they're the crowd that's reserved for the judgment. Number two, we see the character of judgment. Notice here in the second part of verse number 6. Upon the righteous, upon the wicked he shall, and here's what he's going to do. He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. Here's the character of the judgment. Here's what God's going to do. He's going to rain upon them. He's going to overflow them with these particular things. He's going to rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible pit. Divine judgment, by the way, is no picnic. It is real. And God brings it about, and God will have His way and will. And so He tells us here that He's going to rain, pour out three different types of judgment upon the wicked. And so it's very clear that what God is going to do. First of all, a snare is that which traps a person. You set a snare trap out in the woods to catch a varmint, to catch an animal. You have it covered. You have it where it's not easily seen. And unbeknownst to the animal that goes in the path of it, all of a sudden he's caught. All of a sudden he's in the snare. All of a sudden he's in the trap. And he finds himself to be helpless. He can't do anything about it. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't do much of this with my uncle, but he would go out every once in a while and he'd set traps. I think they're even illegal now to set the kind he had. And he'd set traps and we'd go check them, and sure enough, there'd be something caught in that. And they were rendered helpless. They could not do anything to get away. They could not do anything to escape. The animal could not do anything to help itself. It was in a trap. It was a snare. And here God uses that word, a snare. He's going to take the wicked and He's going to catch them, and they're going to be helpless in the sight of God and in the sight of God's righteousness and God's power. They have no power. They have no way. They have no hope. They have nothing outside of the Lord. And so He's going to set a trap upon the wicked. He's going to set a snare, and they will become helpless before Him. They'll not have anything that they can say. Even at the judgment, they might say, Did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy in thy name? And God said, I never knew you. And so here we find that the Lord, upon this crowd of people that are called the wicked, He's going to set a snare. And He's going to set a trap, and they're going to be helpless before His strength and His honor and His glory. Not only is He going to set a snare, but He's going to have fire and brimstone. I put out beside there, Holocaust. There's nothing left. There's nothing can be done to help them. They are the fire and the brimstone falls upon them. We remember fire and brimstone. I never hear the words fire and brimstone that I don't think of what? Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how God judged that people. Those two cities that were so wicked and so ungodly, they were wicked and they flaunted their sin and they did all those things that I mentioned a while ago. They had their practices and they had their legislature, and you could sit at the gate and you could do all those things. But God in the end sent forth fire and brimstone and destroyed those cities. Judgment will not only make the wicked utterly helpless, and they can't do anything to escape it, that judgment also will bring about a holocaust upon their life. It will be something that will be destructive upon them. And of course, fire and brimstone, I believe, is just a picture, and a little bit of a picture of eternal fire and brimstone of hell. And that our God, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:29, that our God is a consuming fire. So God's going to bring a holocaust. We hear that word. We talk about what happened to the Jews back in World War II. It's called the Holocaust. It means there's a total disaster upon that people. Well, there's going to be a total disaster upon this people, the wicked. He's going to set. He's going to rain. He's going to pour out snares and traps and render them helpless. He's going to send fire and brimstone that will be a holocaust to their life. And then the Scripture says here in the third thing, not just fire and brimstone, but an horrible tempest. Well, a tempest is a wind. And He's going to bring upon them a fiery wind, a wind that is heated. The words there just simply talk about a heated wind. You go, sometimes in the summer, when the wind blows, it's 105 outside, and the wind blows, it's just like heat everywhere. It doesn't help you any. And God's going to send that upon the wicked. He's going to rain upon them that horrible tempest, that heated wind, and judgment will be hot against their sin. Judgment will be against them, and it will not be pleasant for them. Judgment is real, and judgment's not a laughing matter. It's not enjoyable. It is a severe suffering upon the wicked. So there's the crowd, the wicked. There's the character of His judgment. That's what He's going to do. This is what He is going to have them to experience because of their actions, because of their deeds, because of who they are. Now notice the last part of the verse. It says, this shall be the portion of their cup. That's the certainty of judgment. It's certain. Doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. I have some preachers that I've talked to on my emails and different things that I get on. Some of them are, most of what I'm on is Independent Baptist, and it's amazing what Independent Baptists do not believe. I used to say it's amazing what they do believe, but now it's amazing what they do not believe. And I really got a pretty good lashing for saying certain things that happen in countries are, I believe, a direct result from the judgment of God. And I believe that. Can't prove it, but I believe it. If God would judge Israel in the Old Testament, I believe God would judge America in 2014. And so, here is the certainty of judgment. This is their portion. They can't give it to anybody else, it's theirs. They're not going to escape it because it's there. This shall be their portion of their cup. It emphasizes the certainty of judgment. The wicked will not escape. Now, they're laughing right now. They're having a good time right now. But their laughing days are going to be over one day. The wicked will not escape. They will be brought under the anathema, the judgment, of damnation of God, the condemnation of the Lord. It's just as sure as I'm standing here tonight. It's just as sure as you're sitting in your pew. It's just as sure as we got up this morning. God will judge wickedness. And this one little verse has a whole lot to say, much more than I will have time to say tonight. They're brought under the condemnation of the Lord. They've enjoyed their pleasures of sin, but it's just for a season. They think it's forever. They have the thought in their mind, I'm going to live my life. I can do what I want to do. I can live the way I want to live and have all the sin and the wickedness that I want, and I'll just die and I'm gone, never to return. Oh, will they wake up to a rude awakening? They can do that. They can live their way. They can have their pleasures of sin, but when they die, they're going to find out judgment has fallen. They're going to find out they're not just a piece of dirt like a dog. We're going to find out that we're made in the image of God, even though they've rejected it. We're going to find out that we're made the image of the Lord, and we're from God. We're not from somewhere else. And we're not just here to live a little while and go and be forgotten. We are a living soul, God breathing the nostrils of Adam's the breath of life. And so we find that the certainty of judgment, this is the portion, this is their cup. The Lord said, the Lord gave me the cup. God gave me a cup. He said He would take the cup. We have the portion of life. We have what is for us and the wicked also. No sinful pleasure will compensate for the judgment they will experience. It's going to be a terrible time. And David says, upon the wicked, he shall rain snare, fire and brimstone, horrible treatment. It's certain this is their portion. This is their cup. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the wicked. They will have no more peace, no more pleasure, only peril and disgrace and sin and judgment. I think it's a good thing to be a Christian, don't you? It's a good thing to know the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know Christ and to have the righteousness of the Lord. The prospect of the wicked is terrible. We can stand here Monday as we did and can rejoice in the saint of God being ushered to the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's no joyful time when you have to have a funeral for those that you don't know or you know are not right with God. It's a terrible thing. It's only peril and troubles. The prospect is terrible. Sin costs, and the sinner will pay. The sinner will pay for his evil, and he'll pay fully as God has demanded it. And the wicked shall be judged. I'm glad tonight that I can tell anybody that our Lord Jesus Christ took the penalty for all those sins. Praise the Lord. He took the penalty. He took my place. And He was there upon Calvary. And God put upon Him my sins. Put upon Him your sins. We don't have to be the wicked. And we don't have to be those that follow after unrighteousness. We don't have to be the one that David says they've got their bow and arrow ready to shoot. They're ready to fire. I'll tell you tonight, the wicked are ready to fire. They're poised to bring injury and harm to the child of God. So they're the wicked, but God says they're going to be judged. Those three different ways, and He said it's certain, it's their cup. They've lived this way, they wanted it that way, and so this is the portion of their cup. It is certain. Nobody will ever escape the judgment of the Lord. No person will ever get away with it. Oh, it may for a while, but you don't get away with it. And so, thank God tonight we are not classified as the wicked. I'm glad we're on the other side of the picture. David talks about the righteous. We are the people of God. We're the righteous that trust Him, believe upon Him. And I'm glad we have His protection, because the wicked would fire at us. The wicked would kill us. And I'll tell you, the wicked one would destroy us in a moment if he could get by with it. But thank God for His protection upon us. And whether we be here or whether we be in the Philippines, God has protection upon us. I'm sure Brother Bill and Darla can tell you stories of how God protects them in different situations, different ways. You and I can talk about how God's protected us. We're the righteous. You know what that is? His protection is the portion of our cup. He's good for us. He's good to us. And so realize that judgment is real. As much as God loves, God one day will judge. He'll bring judgment upon the wicked. That's the crowd of judgment. So I pray we'd do all that we can, say all that we can, do the things that are noticeable by the wicked, that they might know we care about them. We don't like their ways. We may not like the things they do, but we ought to show them we care about them. They're a soul. They're an individual. They're a person. And one day they're going to stand before the same God you and I are going to stand. And we may stand and lose rewards because we didn't warn the wicked. We didn't do what we should have done. We didn't do what we could have done. And may God help us to tell the wicked that Jesus loves them just like they are. I'm glad we don't have to clean up, turn over a new leaf. I'm glad we don't have to get all that fixed before God loves us. God loves us while we're sinners. He came and died for sinners. He sat down and ate meals with sinners. He talked with sinners. He had fellowship with sinners because that's who He came to seek and to save. But by the grace of God, we would be classified as the wicked. I'm glad we're saved, born again by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Rejoice.